Right, the Lord is good. So this is supposed to be like a conclusion, so let's continue from where we were. Hopefully we can complete the season of fruitfulness today. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, that's where we have been in the last few teachings. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and the season of fruitfulness teachings that we have been having. Since I said I'm trying to conclude everything today, let me just give us a small summary, which I hope will not take more than 5 to 10 minutes, so as just to connect. The summary of everything we have been doing, the season of fruitfulness, is to help people understand that everything that is spiritual should have a physical manifestation. Are you getting my point? If something is in the heart, it must come out on the surface. If something is in the realm of the spirit, there is a manifestation of it on this earth. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus Christ was being described, and it was said to be the exact, that it was the expression of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That is, God exists in the realm of the spirit, but you can see God in the physical realm. That is, when you want to know what Jesus, what God is like, all right, as a human being, you look at Jesus Christ. So Philip said, show us the Father. They were speaking to Jesus, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, you mean you have been with me all this while, and you are still telling me she was the Father? What do you think you have been seeing? He wasn't claiming to be the Father, because, you know, some people want to talk about it, teach some unitary doctrine. They'll tell you that Jesus was the Father. No, what he was saying is that if I show you the Father, what will you see that you will say you haven't seen before? I don't know whether you get my point. You cannot see God in the realm that he is. Jesus said it himself, God is spirit. What when he was saying that in John chapter 4, what he was saying is that God is not in this realm, he's in another realm. That's what he was saying. So he was saying that if you want to contact him, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, if you go somewhere and they say, bow before you enter, Jesus said, no problem. But if that bowing is just outward alone, God can't see it. That is, you must first bow in your heart. The outward bowing, all right, the outward bowing must be a manifestation of the spiritual bow that you have taken. That's what he said. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he said God is a spirit. All right? Or God, literal Greek say God is spirit. That is, God is not physical. He's spirit. Anything that's in the realm of the spirit, the way God has designed it is that if it is relevant in this time, if it's relevant in this dispensation, it must have a physical manifestation. So the physical manifestation of God is Jesus Christ. And even before him, he always had a part of him manifested in people. And if you got my sermon I sent out about 2 weeks ago, I talked about the real goal of Christianity. That what God wants now is for you sitting down there and me speaking here, all of us, anybody listening to this, if you say you are a Christian, his primary thing in your life is that you will be his current manifestation. Are you getting my point? As we want to know God, they say, please, can you show me God? They say, you mean you have been with me all this while? What else do you want? Because if you see God, he's a spiritual being. But if he has to come into this physical realm, he has to take up a form. Now, bear that principle in mind. That's what we've been talking about. So we said, your blessing also is in the realm of the spirit. All right? Your blessing is in the realm of the spirit. But being there, it's not useful to anybody unless its manifestation, all right, occurs in this dispensation. That's what I've been talking about. And everything that exists in the realm of the spirit will be manifested in this dispensation. And we're talking about, you know, spiritual blessings, therefore, coming down to the earth. It has to meet the earth somewhere. There must be a place where that spiritual blessing will enter and we'll see the manifestation of it. And we said, don't forget that was why when God blessed, made a promise to Adam, and he made a promise to Abraham, and he made a promise, he made promises here and there through the prophets about the coming of a redeemer. In fact, about redeeming mankind, let me put it like that. The redeemer had to come. And for the redeemer to come, a body had to be prepared. The blessing wouldn't just come and be hanging in the air. It had to have a place, all right? The blessing had to have a place to rest. Therefore, the angel went to Mary and said, will you cooperate? We need you to help us so we can form a body that blessing of God will come and rest in. So every blessing you have in life will rest somewhere. Are you getting my point? And that we began to talk about. So I've said that you've been hearing the word of God. God has said to bless you. Let's talk about economic blessing now. Prosperity, you know, stuff like that. God says, okay, I'm going to bless you, but listen, children of God, I don't rain manna from heaven, usually. I rain manna only under emergency conditions. Are you getting my point? And since your life is not supposed to be an emergency, it's not that you wake up every morning, there's crisis. Hey, what is happening? I don't have money. What is happening? Rain is about to fall. We don't have to wait to hide. That's not supposed to be your life. So God says, the blessing that I have commanded upon you, it will not be able to manifest except there is a body. That is, with all the love God has for mankind, with the faithfulness, all right, of his nature that was backing his promises, Mary had to agree for them to give birth to that boy that the Spirit of God embodied, you know, in Christ, can tabernacle in the flesh called Jesus. Are you getting my point? I hope you understood that.
Yes.
If you understood it, say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's what we've been talking about. So I said, for that reason, there are things you must do. He said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. That there is a season of sowing, and there is a season of harvest. But in both of them, there is work to do. And that's the point where I've been making all of these things. In both of them, there is work to do. Now, the last in this series, that was last Saturday. And I explained something. Let me just review down again for a minute or two. And that's the fact that, you see, you must have an expectation. That's why we talk like this. Because life, listen, let me, I'm back to it now. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm saying the same thing again and again. I may be saying the same thing again and again, all right? Don't worry. It is still what? The word of God, all right? Now, let me get back to it. So you see, in life, all right, it's a battle of what? Words. Like, and when we talk about words now, it's not only just these words that we utter. You know, the Bible says, day unto day utter speech. When you wake up in the morning, the atmosphere tells you something. The way the clouds gather, telling you something. All those things that's been spoken to you, what are they doing? They are creating an expectation in you. They are creating the way you relate with life. And that is how life now relates with you back. Are you getting my point? If God wants to give you a blessing, if he wants to manifest something through you, if you have a wrong thought pattern, it's very important. If you have a wrong thought pattern, if your thought processes are different from that of God, that blessing cannot enter. If you have not been around on Tuesdays, when we're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life, I talked about strongholds. And what are strongholds? Strongholds are thought processes that are firmly established in our hearts that are different from that of God. If your thinking pattern, if your thought processes, all right, differ from that of God, he can't pour a blessing into you until he has realigned you. He can't. It's not as if he won't. He can't. If he did, you will be injured. This is very important you understand. You know, God is very kind. He's very, very kind. If God gives you a blessing that your mind can't handle, you will lose it. Sometimes it destroys you. One of the ways I like to explain it is that one day, one woman was so nice to Elijah. Was it Elijah or Elisha? The Shunammite woman. Elisha now. Yeah, the woman of Shunem. That he said, what do we do for her? Oh, she does not have a child. So, okay, good. Called the woman and prophesied upon her. And Elisha's words were very heavy. So the woman had to get, the woman said, don't deceive me, man of God. That this is deception. Why are you telling me lies? So the boy was born by force. By prophetic force. What did I call it? Prophetic force. He was born by prophetic force. But the woman couldn't hold him. Because of that, one day he had a headache and he died. But the good thing was that that had allowed her to realize that God could do things that she did not understand. So this time around, she ran to the prophet. But you will know that she didn't receive it herself the first time. Why? Because when she got there, he said, did I not tell you not to lie to me? No, go and read it. That was exactly what she said to him. Man of God, did I not tell you not to lie to your servant? Who's right now? You lied? I told the truth. Why? The boy is dead. That's my understanding of it. The man of God now prayed. It took him a while of praying. The boy finally rose up, let me put it like this, reluctantly. You are smiling. You know, it was a lot of aggressive prayer. for God to release that boy back. That, look, Elisha, if you do this thing like this, this boy will die again. Elisha said, but we just have to wake him up. Now, please, you know, I'm trying to explain something using this principle. At the end of the day, what happened? When the boy woke up, he didn't bring the boy. He said, now go and take him up for yourself. Those were the exact words he used. Now, this is my understanding of it. He said, listen, if I bring him to you by force, he will die again. That's a spiritual lesson. Now, you exercise your faith and receive this boy. That way, he will live. That's why God doesn't just pour blessings on people anyhow. If he does, and they are not ready for it, they lose it. Sometimes it destroys them. It destroys them. So for that reason, before God can bless people, he has to realign them. He has to realign the way they think. He has to do things in their life. Listen, that was why he took him so long to give Isaac to Abraham. He could have done like this, home in one day, and you know, just see Abraham. Say, yes, my Lord. Are you ready to follow me? And was he not ready? No, was he not ready? And God has said, this guy's readiness is just too good. Oh, yeah, give him that boy. Boom, he's born. Well, God said, if I do it like that, that boy will spoil. He will not be able to pass that blessing down. So what do we do? Let us take time out to train him. 25 years of all kinds of training. How God will deliver his wife when men will have collected his wife and taken her away. All kinds of training. When he will stand and have to, you know, allow things to go. So that Lot will make a choice before him. When he will go fight to deliver Lot. He interceded. I was listening to the Bible again the other day. I realized that after all the machinations of delivering Lot, the comment that God passed was that God did all of that for the sake of Abraham. Now, you are getting the point I'm making? Now, all of these things were done to train this man. He gave Lot everything. You would take wherever you wanted. While he was delivering Lot, remember what happened? He gathered a lot of goods for himself. Then he released it to the king of Sodom again. Lest you say, I made Abraham rich. He met Melchizedek. He did all of those things. This is my understanding. So that he would be ready to receive Isaac. And then finally, the last thing that happened was that he met strangers, showed up. He did not know it was God and his angels going to judge some people. He just saw people alone at night. This dangerous territory. You can't stay out here. He persuaded them, and that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. That's why, let me say it to you again. You know, we keep on saying these things again and again to help Christians. You cannot give one offering and then you will break through if you are not a regular giver before that day. This is your first time you are giving. You are expecting breakthrough. Don't worry. You want to rewrite the scripture. He said, behold, God is not mocked. He said, God can be mocked. That's what you are trying to rewrite. You are trying to write in place of that scripture. Abraham, that day God showed up, but it was the last of the set of lectures and trainings and workshops that God had been giving him over the last 24 years. And when he passed that test, suddenly he was ready to receive Isaac. You are getting my point? That's why the lessons of God in your life, don't take them lightly. They are very crucial for your blessing. They are very crucial for your promotion. They are very crucial. If somebody says something that annoys you, ask yourself, why am I angry? Is it because what he's saying is bad, or it is because I'm too stubborn? Yes, that's the way it is. Those lessons are put together for you to be able to receive Isaac. And that was why Isaac was born in the fullness of time. And God kept on training him. To release Ishmael, you know, was a lesson. Because remember, when they said, let Ishmael go, the Bible said this thing grieved Abraham. Why? Because of Ishmael, his son. But he allowed Ishmael to go, and that was training for him. Don't forget, when he died, it was Ishmael and Isaac that came back and buried him. That Ishmael came back together with Isaac, buried Abraham. He didn't totally lose contact with the boy. You understand? He saw the boy go, and God preserved him. God took care of him. And so that one day God now said to him, give me Isaac. He had been trained. He had been trained for over 40 years. Training in the school of faith. So when God said, give me Isaac, it was the final exam for him to qualify finally for the blessing. You are getting the point I'm trying to make? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So this is how God does it. So all the experiences we have in life is to realign our minds All right? To be able to receive that blessing. Now, I said all of this to explain why we're doing this short series on the season of fruitfulness. Because people's minds must be retrained. It must be retrained. It must be retrained. If you don't retrain the minds of people, God wants to bless them. There's nothing he can do. He can't force blessing into anybody's life. Until it tunes your mind, changes your mind. Like the last two meetings, I've been explaining a particular principle. But that's why I wanted to read this Deuteronomy chapter 11, but I won't bother reading it again because we want to save time. But we'll just refer to it here and there. You see, God said, I'm bringing you, telling the people, from the land of Egypt, where when you plant your seed, you have to water it with your own effort. You had to. And I said to you, the principles, many of the principles of doing business, even marriage, other things that people preach these days, many of them are Egyptian principles. How to make, succeed in farming in Egypt. Many of them. Many of them. You know, I remember once I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, he said he investigated how to get involved in movie business and all of that. So he went to the market and said, okay, what kind of movies do you like? And they insisted that we have to be like this. I said to him that it doesn't. He and I were having an argument about it. I said, no, that is what they say. But if God wants to bless a man, you don't have to do your movies the way they are saying. I said, you don't have to do your own the way they are saying. And you will see something as we go on, if I can get there today. As I was coming in the car, the message was playing. My wife knows that when she was laughing and laughing at labor, I was concentrating on something. Now listen, the one that was making her laugh, Laban was a very funny human being. If you see Laban, run. If ever, you know Laban? The uncle of Jacob. That guy, next time you see him, the other direction. Don't do any deal with him. Why do I say that? Because you remember the Bible, well, we listened to that, we're driving down for the Bible, this evening's Bible study. That, what do you want me to give you? Name it whatever you say, I will give it to you. Jacob said, all right, let's like this. Any dark colored sheep and any spotted and striped this and that, let me take those ones that have stripes, spots, and they are dark colored. So that when you have the one, anytime you see anything that's not like that in my sheepfold, it means I stole it. Oh, Laban said, that is good, yes. As soon as Jacob turned like this, the man quickly went, removed those animals and gave to his sons to keep. And said, Jacob, go and choose now. Knowing there was nothing left. Knowing there was nothing left. What he did not know. Oh, God. And that's what I'm trying to teach. God is on your side. Amen. That's what I'm trying to teach. That you are not average. Yes, you're not average. Listen. What you are doing... Listen. Do you know why I'm... Let me tell you a bit of my story again, all right? You've heard it 10 times. In the secular world, you know, normal work, I trained basically as a medical doctor, right? And then one day my friends asked me, I'm a pathologist today, all right? I'm still practicing. I don't know for how long, but I'm still practicing as of today. If you finish as a doctor, you know, you self-specialize. It's almost compulsory all over the world today, all right? So before I finished my youth service, I had to decide. I'm going somewhere, just brief about the story. Later on, my friends would say, why did you choose you're going to specialize in, you know, as a pathologist? And there are different stories I give, but because of the message I'm teaching today, I'll give you the most important reason. It was straight because I had a direct leading of the Spirit to do it. I still remember the weekend. I still remember the seat where I was sitting in the sitting room at home. I came down from Taraba State where I served. I came from a convention, that my alumni fellowship. So I was at home before I went back to NYC. I was still thinking, what am I going to do? That day, as I sat, it was as if somebody cracked my skull open, tossed it in inside, and closed it. I almost could hear it as it landed. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling that story. So late after that, I told everybody I'm going to be a pathologist. And people were wondering. Now, it was funny because when I trained in school, we didn't have one. We were borrowing from here and there. There was nobody to inspire you to. And the idea did not cross my mind all the days I was a medical student. Finished my internship, it didn't cross my mind. Was doing youth service, it didn't cross my mind. The first day it was tossed into my head was the day I made up my mind. That's what I'm talking about it. So you see, I'm not just another pathologist. Please, I want you to understand that. I'm not. I don't know fully what God was doing with it. You understand? I don't know fully. I think I understand some of it, all right? It's many, many parts of it I can easily explain if we are chatting about it. But I'm going to bring that, that as an illustration of the fact that Christians are not... Look, today you may find yourself somewhere, maybe what you do, you design clothes. You're not looking for money. Did you hear what I said? You are not looking for money. No, you're not just looking for money. Now, you not say, but nobody spoke to me the way somebody spoke to you. You understand what I'm saying? Very nice. You know, I've told you, God doesn't always talk like that. It's okay. So how did he speak to you to become a preacher? That's one thing he never did. It's very funny. So, if you think I always wait for such things. No! Remember my gist all the time? What did God say to you about the woman you marry? He said, I pronounce you man and wife. Are you saying he did not say anything to you? You see, he said it in different ways. The way he said that one, I remember very well, was that as soon as I saw my wife for the first time, an angel said, what do you think? I didn't know what I heard what I said. I didn't know it was an angel, but the thought just came to me and said, what do you think? I said, my God. That's it. And so you know why God didn't say anything? He said, don't worry, he likes her. No, that's it. He didn't have to say anything because he understood that I liked her. If the other thought had crossed my mind, he may not have had to say anything. I'm going to explain something to you. Listen, we'll talk about it later. I've made up my mind to explain that principle again. All right? When I finish the next series, I want to start next Saturday, that is, if I can finish this one today. All right? I'll get back to it later. I'll take it line by line, try to explain that thing to people. Okay? Well, we'll talk about it now. But why talk about it that even though you didn't get that kind of manifestation that I got, it doesn't mean that what you are doing now, God didn't choose you specifically for it. Do you get the point I'm making? No, it doesn't mean that. What I want to emphasize to you, all right, is that you are not just another person. What Laban didn't get was that Jacob was not just another person. Because Jacob said something to his wife when he wanted to leave. He said, listen, girls, when your father was doing this, what he did not know was that before that discussion, I had had a dream. Oh. Before that discussion, I had a dream. And I saw this is the realm of the spirit. So when it was still in the animals, I said, no worries, still. Then by the power of the revelation of God I had already, I began to make sticks, redesign sticks. I started genetic engineering thousands of years before men knew they were genes. Please, I hope you are getting my point. You know what we discover all of these things? I want you to have a mindset about yourself. So you can't be in the market and be fighting over customers. Fighting who over what? If it's not mine, let it go. If it is mine, it will stay. It will stick on me. You can't tear it away. And listen, that's how it is for every Christian. That's what I want to understand. That's the mindset I want you to have. Don't think that when you get to the market early, you catch the early customers. Your customers will wait. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I pray you can believe that. Yes. They will what? Yes. Wait. It is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. There are times that are proper for you to go to the market. Choose your proper time and nobody is changing it for you. Pressure is not changing it for you. No, pressure is not allowed to change it for you. Do you know why? Because you are not an accident. That's what Laban didn't get. Laban didn't get that point. So, while he was hustling, and he and his sons were rearranging, listen, the same man and his sons that tried to defraud Jacob, get his point, they were the same ones that came and started grumbling that Jacob has taken all our father's goods. I don't know whether I get the point. They stole it, hid it, even though they had an agreement. But God so turned things around that they opened their mouths and said, Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father. You know, I'm talking like this. I want believers to understand that you are not going to get your results, succeed in life because of chance or because you took the Egyptian principles, how they farmed, you understand, in Egypt. You used it in the promised land. No, that's not what happened to you. Let me say to you, some of the greatest, assuming you have a shop in the market, you have a business somewhere, listen, just to make his point to you, God will do something to you for you very soon. The day you don't go to work is the day you make the highest sales. Not as if he's trying to encourage you not to go to work. Just wants you to understand that it's not your coming that's attracting the thing. It is the blessing. Are you getting my point? That the reason why you come is that you are supposed to work. This is the place of your assignment. That what is attracting the thing is the blessing. It is not your coming. So what he will do is that he'll make sure you can't go one day for 1 week. You know, there's this place, they say that January is always very dry. Remember that thing? My wife knows what I'm talking about. Once, one January like this, my wife said, why is this January is dry? January, I don't have time to go anywhere. I did that because, you know, she does business, sells some things, you know. That she said, look, this is January that I did. They said it's dry, nothing's happening. Look now. Everybody was in January is dry. They saw her books that January. They said, no, madam, this must be April. And there's one anointing my wife has. In fact, something happened last week, I won't tell you. I just told myself, this girl is anointed. You know, there are some kinds of anointings. Let me just give you one small idea. One day, somebody imported children's toys. Understand? Toys. You know, computer, stuff like that. You know, not just Lego. I mean, toys. You know, computers that work, you know, but for kids. They say, I don't know, this thing, I just not be able to sell it. Somebody now, maybe somebody linked that to my wife, just, I sold everything like 2 weeks. He doesn't just sell them like, hey, go from house to house. It's sometimes I'm not exaggerating, by the laying on of hands. Just walking and say, what are these things still doing here? They've been here for some time. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you, go. You, go. Go. No, afterwards, say, Madam, I want to hear that testimony from your mouth. And then she will sit down, going on the road. Good afternoon, ma'am. Please, do you have this and this and that? Sometimes I will sit down and just say, those guys just left. They bought goods, 120,000 naira. Just flash cash for you like this. Why? Because last week I went in there, I began to lay my hands. And I said to this, since you have occupied my store long enough. Oh, yeah? Out of here. It's an unction. What did I say? It's an unction. And listen, for Christians, it's not always that dramatic. See, I just prayed. Sometimes your very presence, I don't know whether you're getting my point. You just enter somewhere. You know, listen, when they had problems in Babylon, they said, have you called Daniel? Say, why should they call you? You've not called Daniel. What's wrong with you? You haven't called Daniel. So that man has the spirit of the gods. That's what they said. There is a spirit that dwells with that fellow. Call him. This problem will be over. What I want you to understand is, listen, it may not always appear that dramatic, but you are not an average person. You are not an average person. For that reason, please, anything you have to do, we're talking about season of fruitfulness, tackle it with that mindset. Tackle it with that mindset. I remember them when someone has come to Enugu. People said, look, why are you going to Enugu? If it's ministry, it's in Lagos. There are people, listen, half of preachers in Nigeria, at least, conservatively speaking, half still believe that the key to success is have a major branch in Lagos. When I say half, it's a conservative estimate. I'm just trying to be nice. Let's stick with half. But those days, now I had an idea that we'll preach the gospel all over the world. What, you know, then I didn't know it was easy to hang yourself on satellite, you know, like be on satellite TV. I didn't realize it was. Of course, it wasn't easy. Now, let me, that time it wasn't easy. You know, I'm sure those are the days when you needed an arm and a leg to start the deal. But no, it didn't matter to me. I had, there was a way I understood that I should go to Enugu. You know, there's a way I track what's happening in our ministry, you understand? We go to the back end of our website and check the traffic. So, I saw that whoever it is, a group of people from China, I don't know whether they're Nigerians or Chinese people, I don't know, but suddenly, I think they got hold, somebody must have told them, go to that website. And in a few days, this guy has pulled 80 gig of bandwidth. Okay, some of you are like, is that Greek or Latin? Okay, those who understand, please, I hope you understand. If you know such things, you can. There's a way you can track. You know where the thing is coming from. They show you, you know, the IP address, how many gig that has gone. You just check it. That is, I was so excited that who are these people? The top that downloads as of today, top four, it varies. The ones that are always on top are Nigeria, UK, and US, where you have a lot of Nigerians, I assume. I'm just assuming that, okay? Then next you have things like Sweden, Norway. I don't know who and who is there, okay? Yeah. But what happened was recently, Algeria suddenly jumped, beat Norway, all those other people, just dropped them down. So you see Nigeria, US, UK, next Algeria. It just stayed up there. I said, what's going on? No, you see strange things. Philippines. I'm not kidding. Get mails from South Africa, from different places. Now, why am I telling you all of these things? When I decided to come to Enugu, they were not possible. Are you getting my point? It wasn't just there. But God knew it to be there. Please, are you getting my point? He knew it to be there. So he said, you want worldwide influence? Don't stay with where everybody said there's worldwide influence. Just go to where I am going to move you. You want to succeed, you want to prosper exceedingly. Don't look for, you know, I keep on telling people, start looking for what everybody is doing. Stop looking for what everybody is doing because you're not everybody. Don't do ministry. This is how this person did it and he succeeded. You are not that person. You are not that. There are people who think that, you know, the reason why people like Bishop Oyedepo can do what they are doing is because the congregation is large. So, listen, you can do twice that and not have a fraction of his congregation because congregation is not God. God knows how he moves his resources. I've told you before, people have told me many times that the reason why you need to have services on Sundays is because without that, you will not be able to get the money to do the work that God sent you to do. I should be using corny way to find money to do what God sent me to do. Then he didn't send me. No, he did not. I tell Akinloke, Akinloke, please, go and buy me maybe a loaf of bread. He said, okay. And he starts going. He said, tells his brother, Benga, how do we get money for this loaf of bread? All right, slap that guy, come. Collect his money. He said, why? My father said, buy a loaf of bread. Some policeman now arrest him. He said, Akinlu, why did you slap an innocent young boy and you collected his money? He said, because my father said, buy a loaf of bread. You must understand. My father said, buy a loaf of bread. Where is the money he gave you? No. He didn't give me money. Once he said, buy a loaf of bread, I had to be wise. That's not foolishness. It's utter foolishness. If he said, if I told him, buy a loaf of bread, he would keep standing there. Say, why is he standing? You haven't given me the money. Go there and say, my father said, bring a loaf of bread. He didn't say, buy. So your father has to do what? Give you the money. If God indeed sent me to do something, while I'm doing what is right and righteous, he had better supply the money. Otherwise, he didn't send me. And that's a good test to know whether you were sent or you were not sent. Anything that's choking you all the time like this to do, when you want to do it, just know you were not sent. Or the time is not yet right. That is why all the years I have been doing ministry, this kind of financial distress I hear people whine and grumble about in churches and on TV every day, I have never had it. He said, why? You know, we are broadcasting. It's a blessing to you. You will send us an offering so we can keep it on air. There are things that, you know, for me it's more righteous to call the TV station and say, we are broadcasting, we can't pay again. I'm telling you the truth. Who, you see, you can only make demands of those who you agreed with at the beginning. Okay, all of you all over the world who thinks we should broadcast, put up your hand. Whatever you are right now, how you are going to do that, I don't know. It's all, we all agree. So, you are now, therefore, obligated to keep on paying. You send us money. No. They were sitting in their homes, jelly. Then they tuned the TV and saw your black face. You are getting my point? And they enjoyed you doesn't mean they have the obligation to keep you up there. I knew that. I said, God, if we are going to do these things, you will have to supply the money. It's not about wisdom, human wisdom now, that I'm very smart. I'm very smart. I know how to raise money. You know, one of our friends said to me the other day, he said, when he started ministry, he told himself, he said before that time, he used to say that any man who starts ministry in 6 months doesn't have 100 members, either he's not called or he's lazy. In 6 months, he didn't have one member when he started. He didn't have... No, get my point. No, you're talking about my point. At the end of 6 months, he was alone. You know, if he was married, he would drag his wife there. Yeah, he was not even married. So he was just totally alone. Finally, he prayed to God. He said, God, well, I guess maybe you did not send me. Please give me this sign to let me know so I should go back home. That was when he finally got the first two members. After he knew that he didn't know how to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He testified himself that before that, he used to say that 6 months, 1 year, you are called. Your choice is not up to 100 people. You are lazy. If you are not lazy, then you are not called. 6 months he went, he didn't have one. Now, he told the story himself. Of course, years have passed. God has blessed his ministry, has grown. You know, he now has influence in many places outside Nigeria and all of that. So he can tell the story. So there is nothing like I know how to do it. Did you hear what I said? No. We are just saying that we allow God to do what he wants to do. That's what we are saying. And I'm emphasizing today to let you know that you're not average. There is nothing that's coming to you by chance. Jacob, our good example. Go and read the story in Genesis 30 and 31. Laban thought he could defraud Jacob. What he did not know, that there was a power that sent Jacob to his house. That blessing upon Jacob. That blessing upon Jacob. You know the interesting thing? I don't want to go into it now again, all right? But as we're listening to that, as we're driving down, I'll go to another point. I realized that while Isaac was blessing Jacob, you know, the details were not given as much as you would think it was given, all right? While Isaac was blessing Jacob, he also, as part of the blessing, he had told him who he could not marry. Go and look at it. As Isaac was blessing, what? It was during the blessing that Isaac said simply to Jacob, a condition for the fulfillment of this blessing, you can't take away from here. My God. What am I saying of these things? Down to who Isaac will marry, God had to decide. Now, you know what we're doing all of this talk? I'm releasing words to align your mindset with that of God that will allow that blessing flow. Because you're already there. It's already there. It's already yours. It's already yours. It's already yours. That's why I say to business people, it's not every business you do. It's not everything that makes money that requires your participation. As a preacher, it's not every gospel you preach. Even sometimes they are true, but it doesn't require your, you know, it's not your word. You know, you can't preach it. You can't preach it. Talking about preachers now, there are things that preachers find that move the crowd. Are you getting my point? Yes, that move the crowd. Just start attacking all your enemies. Yeah. Just face your enemies for 6 weeks. You will realize that even the bus driver will stop. Tell passenger they come. May I go pray? Because as fast as, you know, it's an African problem. All your enemies. It's an African problem. It's not a white man's problem. I don't even think it's an Asian problem. Asians do ancestors also. But Africans are the ones that do enemies. It's so strong that Professor Ayo Benitez wrote an article, I mean, a world-renowned article on it. He talked about depression in Africans. He said the primary problem in the heart of an African is how to be at peace with his neighbor. He identified it. He's a psychiatrist. He's late now. You know, renowned psychiatrist. He said the primary problem of an African is peace with his neighbor. In the summary, he's afraid his neighbor may be his enemy. Now, I don't want to discuss that in details. But the point is that's why a lot of preachers, half of them are not even Christians. I told you, half of those prophets you see, they are not Christians. Okay? They capitalize on it. So when you go, they also tell you somebody doesn't like you. And now I've told you, what do you tell such a person? Say, you, pastor, does everybody like you? How come you don't have my problems? It's not revelation for you to tell somebody doesn't like me. There are those I'm going on the road. They just don't know why I'm driving this car, and it's not them. They don't know me. I'm sitting down. Why is he sitting? Why is he not standing? Why did he marry this woman and not that one? It's normal. It's life. That's why God said, okay, let's be like this. I will have to prepare a table for you. That's how to settle it. Because you don't have a choice in this life. You always have enemies. But they are never the cause of your problems. A lot of people now capitalize on that, thinking it's methods that draw people to you. Listen to me, it's not methods. There is a spiritual power. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. You're a businessman. There is a spiritual what? Power. And you must understand that. You must. You face life with that attitude. That's what I said last time. Don't do the works of the Egyptian, which is, like somebody did, strategize to meet big people. Listen, let me give you the word of God straight. You know, anytime I'm preaching to Christians, I like to tell them some things straight. I was preaching the word the other day. I told them something very straight. Everybody was looking at me. I said, if you run a school and your school is a special center, you know what I mean? How many of you know what it's called, special centers? I said, if you're a Christian, hear ye the word of the Lord, you will go to jail. I didn't say repent. I didn't say I'm warning you. I just said, this is the word of God to you. If you're a believer and your school is a special, you know, for those who don't know what special centers are, if you are not in Nigeria, you know what, that is a school where they like to, they do fraudulent exam malpractices. So candidates that can't pass exams the normal way, they go and register there, knowing that the school authorities will help them, you know, cheat. Let's summarize like that. So they get grades they did not work for. I said to them, don't worry. I said, you see, if you're a Christian and you have such a school, please pack your bags and baggages because you will go to prison. The Muslim will not go. You'll be surprised. Your unbelieving neighbor will not go. But God will just say, angels, select the believers amongst them. As a Christian, arrange all of them. Put them in jail. 5 years imprisonment, no option of fine. When they come back, they will fear God. Are you getting my point? Yes, that one I said the other day, that was not nature. I said, any business you were not doing before your uncle became a commissioner, if you start it, you're also going to prison. I hope you are hearing, no? It's not begging. I'm happy you didn't say amen. It's not right. If you were not a contractor, and your cousin became a minister, then you've gone to register a company, and you begin to bid for contracts. Bros, sis, you will go to prison. If only to fulfill my word for 1 month. More likely, they will cool your heels there for 2 good years, so that when you come back, you will fear God. Now, let me just quickly let you know, you won't die there. The jagudas in prison will not injure you. I'm happy you are saying the amen on people's behalf. You will only go and come back intact. But for that period, you know, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. When you come back, you will lose faith in human connections. That's what God is trying to do. You know, he said to Jacob, I will not leave you alone until I have done everything that I promised. It's not just that I will follow you and bless you by force. No. If you do badly, I will flog you. I won't say that I'm tired of this, but I will never be tired of you. I will correct you. I will punish you. I will rearrange you. I will break your bone, heal it, slap you, rearrange your face, cut your hair, grow it. Do whatever I need to do. I won't leave you alone until you have been blessed. So when God sends a child of God to prison, it is, I don't want to leave him alone. Another one, if you use fake receipts in your office, they will fire you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Thank you, thank you. You know, God is taking you to a level of prosperity. You can't get there with this kind of magumago that Nigerians play. No, you can't. You can't get there. You can't get there. You can't get there. You cannot get there with magumago. Listen, you will never execute a proper contract with fake things. If you do it, you will go to prison. It's only for Christians. So Muslims are not going to, Muslims will go to mosque. You will go to prison. Why? Because God said, these are my people. I have to train them in what is right. If I don't train Abraham like that, how will I fulfill the blessing? How will I fulfill the promises I have given to him as part of the blessing? I can't. So what do? I make sure he's one that can teach his children, his household after him, in the way of the Lord, teach them how to execute righteousness and justice. And that's what God is doing in your life. You get my point? I digress. I know the point from which I digress there. You know, I do things like this just to help Christians. So back to what I was saying. So I said that if you use the connection, the method that fellow we talked about last week was trying to use to break through in life, God said, listen, I will stand deliberately against you. The little you thought you had before, I take it away. Are you getting my point? Why? Because I have called you to a promised land. And in that promised land, you don't water it the way they water their crops in Egypt. This one drinks water of the rains of heaven. What does that mean? Luck, you know, colloquia now, is your portion. You will be lucky. You hear what I said? What did I say? Say it, I will be lucky.
I will be lucky.
That's it. Now, that's the summary. Like I say all the time, luck is the colloquial expression for the word blessing. What does it mean to be lucky? It is simple. It means that you are supposed to get to work by at 9. Maybe you're supposed to get to your office to do something at 9 o'clock. As you're about to leave, your tire goes, boom. It was blown. You get, by the time you finish arranging and everything, you go back to the, you go down there, it's already 10 o'clock. All the bad deals came to the other competitors between 9 and 10. I don't know whether I get to my point. All the bad deals, which looked good at the beginning, the man who came to collect all of them said, man, the jobs have opened. Quickly come and submit your bid. He left at 9:55 and he was angry with you that you were not around. And they all submitted bids that was going to make them millions. Except that they never saw that money. They invested a lot and they lost everything. Why did you lose it? It's not because you were, you know, that morning as I was coming out, the Holy Spirit said, don't go, don't go. And I began to say, Father, are you the one speaking? Or it is my flesh. And I said, the Lord is good. You see, my brethren, it happens once in a while. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it happens. A friend of mine, happened to him. He was supposed to travel from one of these northern, towns in Nigeria to the next. As he was about to leave, suddenly felt uncomfortable. He said, no. I'm not going. And he relaxed. Everybody that traveled around that period on that road, all these crazy people that are coming from Chad, do you know they killed everybody? So it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But the same person, the day he's, there was one serious crash that killed a lot of people, Abuja to Port Harcourt, some years ago. He said he was in Abuja. They were doing a training. You know, he's a big boss in one pharmaceutical company. So they finished that day. So he checked his watch, and he thought that there's a flight going to Port Harcourt. So all his people that came from Port Harcourt, you know, they wanted to hang around, you know, just relax in Abuja till the next day. All right? And he said, no, all of you will be at work tomorrow morning. Go today. So they were grumbling, but he forced them to travel that day. If he did not, they would have been on the flight that crashed the next day. He called me, told me later, he said, do you know, I forced my people. They were angry, but I forced them to go that evening, thereby making sure they missed the flight for the next morning, which was the one that crashed and killed almost everybody minus one person on board. Did anybody speak to him? No. He just looked at it and said, guys, you must be at work. It was just about work. That we have finished the program. What are you still doing here? Go home. But being the big boss, nobody could disobey. So he forced everybody, go home. So you know why I keep on saying these things? Because too many Christians are waiting for somebody to talk to them. So look, you know, God doesn't always talk to you. After a while, I say you should understand things by now. I'm not telling you anything again. But doesn't mean he's not leading you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It does not mean he's not leading you. It does not mean he's not leading you. That morning, how did he lead you? The story I was telling, your tire just didn't work. You turned your car, he refused to start. Don't be like those who, you know, who will start chasing the devil who does not want me to succeed. Listen, I know the devil doesn't want you to succeed. But, you know, there are people who don't want me to breathe. So, will I stop breathing because of them? I have the capacity to breathe and I'm alive. Therefore, I will breathe. You are getting my point? So, people don't want to succeed. It's not worthy of your prayer point. That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. And all this my talk today is for you to understand. You are not an average person. That was a mistake that Laban made concerning Jacob. He thought Jacob was just an other person. But Jacob wasn't. When I said you'll be lucky, that's what it means. You will be delayed unduly. Why? So that you may meet the person that God sent and said, you, go, help that my boy, help that my girl. You are following what I'm saying? Did God say, wait, somebody's coming to help you? No. You are just loitering because somebody else is delaying you. But they delayed you so that you will meet the person. Are you getting my point? You can't just say, how many Spotify I helped Joseph. One of the greatest helps Joseph had in Egypt was Mrs. Potiphar. I hope you know that. You know, if it was the Holy Spirit, Joseph was going to cast somebody out. Are you getting my point? Holy Spirit said, all right, you know, Joseph, right now, we'll have to, the next phase of your ministry is in jail. You know, just slap somebody so that they can convict you of assault, and then you go to prison. I don't know if I get my point. No, think about that. Joseph will look and say, who's that talking? Get behind me, Satan, instantly. So God said, well, let's not do it like that. Let's do the one that there will be no discussion. I know Joseph. Don't worry. He won't do it. He won't do it. So Mrs. Potiphar began to stroke his behavior. Oh, boy, this is your Jewish behavior. It's fine. When Joseph refused and threw her hand away, she vexed, shouted, and then Joseph landed in jail. So that he might meet the man that God will use to lift him to the throne. Who helped him? Was it Potiphar or Mrs. Potiphar? Think about it. Who was the greater help to Joseph in Egypt? Potiphar or Mrs. Potiphar? Did he feel like that? He didn't feel like that. Oh, but I want you to understand. You can be in prison like with everybody else who also arrived there wrongly. Doesn't mean you are like them. It doesn't mean you are like them. Say it. I'm unique.
I'm unique.
God is paying special attention.
God is paying special attention.
I think those two words are important. One, you are unique. And two, God is paying what? Special attention. He's watching. You know, I like to always add this one. There are so many people who have not taken the step who are listening to me today. So I always like to add this. If the woman broke your heart, it's the will of God. Amen. I like the way you answered. It means they have done it to you. It's the will of God. What did I call it?
The will of God.
In fact, let me just give you 1 second. Just there on your seat, just say, Lord, thank you. No, just say the thank you from the bottom of your heart. It's important. It's important. All your disappointments, you need to say thank you. You know, some angels, their own job, you know, there are different angels in heaven. The angels that always like to say nice things. Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, there are angels like that. You know, Gabriel. Anytime you see Gabriel, it's good news. When you see Gabriel, you know something is about to happen. Once you see Gabriel, hello, when you see an angel, hello? Yeah, my name is Gabriel. Say, what is it? The angels like that. The angels that when you see, I say, my name is Michael. Say, oh God, what happened? You know, Boko Haram invaded and he had to be called. You know, there's no, Michael is not going to tell anybody anything good, man. Like, you know, it's well with who? I killed somebody. He says it's well with you. Oh, yes, it's well with you. Yes, because I killed 5 people. Yes, that's why it's well with you. It's true. Now, there are some angels, that's what I'm going to. Their own are to cause confusion towards you in the lives of those that are not going to help you. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes,
you're paying attention to one particular lady. You bought her a recharge card. She was your val. She's everything. You know what I'm saying? You've even commissioned an artist to come and Picasso her for you. You know? You've done everything. And God says, this girl likes this guy. And she will agree to marry him. And he will marry her. And that blessing of Jacob will not be manifested. So what do? There's these angels that they just go and confuse the girl. That's their job. Anytime you see them, one relationship is about to end. Yeah, the angels like that. You know, there's this Angelina I'm really talking about. Just go to Angelina's house. Angelina, don't mind him. You won't know why. Then they'll come. They'll dress up nicely. as you are about to arrive, they will come 5 minutes before you, better dressed than you, better car than yours, finer tongue than yours, finer perfume than yours. Yours is 5,000, their own is 15K. She doesn't like them, but they will be there when you arrive. Thereby cast doubt in your heart, and her heart also. After they've done that, after she has disappointed you, day to day will disappear, and then I won't know where they went. You are angry, you are frustrated. It's an angelic assignment. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think every angel is nice. Some people think that once I see an angel, no. Some angels in heaven are very wicked. Do I have scriptural proof? Go to Egypt, ask them. Have you caught that?
Yes.
When you ask Pharaoh and his household, what happened to their firstborns? Was he a demon of death? You ever heard of a demon of death? What did the Bible call it? So you see, revise your opinion of angels. They are not the same type. All of them, no matter what they do, the Bible says they have been sent to minister for you. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. They won't injure you. They are not going to kill you. They can't kill you. They won't. They will kill somebody for you. Yeah, some of them do that. They literally, it's not only demons that kill. They are angels that kill. They literally will kill somebody for you. Some of them scatter your relationships. That's what I'm talking about. You know why they scatter your relationships? They said, this will not allow your blessing. It won't allow you to manifest. This boy wants to buy you a car, take you to America, and then that's the end of your ministry. And you want to agree. They will push the boy so hard, you're going, you won't believe. Ah, and I thought he was a Christian. The angel says, it's not his fault, it's us. They carried him into serious temptation. He couldn't do anything. He said, but he too is a child of God. He said, don't worry, his own consecration, it will not be like your own. Let him not spoil things. You know what I'm trying to say again? You are special. Are you getting my point? And God is paying close attention, special attention. He's working out the details. He's working that thing out. He's working it out. Therefore, disappointment is part of it. I get my point. It is part of it. Specially arranged. I found out just today that Isaac, while pronouncing a blessing, he made it clear to Jacob, you can't marry from here. He made that thing very clear to Jacob. That is, God paid special attention to every detail of his life. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you today, all right? And let me close quickly, all right? That's why I said, listen, in fact, this main thing I wanted to come to say, let me say, because I wanted to close that series today, and I think I am going to do that, all right? So, because you know this, feel free to do that which is yours. You hear what I said? You know, like, okay, later on, okay, give me about 5 or 6 weeks, I'll get into that leading of the Spirit thing, all right? All right. First of all, I want to talk about the person of Christ again. We've done it here and there. I've talked about the work of Christ, all right? Only in Christ, things like that. But there's more about Christ. Christ the only way. I want to talk about beginning from next time, okay? Let's understand Christ again. We have to talk about him all the time. This is when I listen to messages. I want to hear the name Christ and Jesus mentioned. No matter the principle you describe, this is Christianity. I'm looking for where you toss that name, Christ and Jesus. One day I saw a magazine. You know this our, Secrets and Truths, all right? I read through it. I showed my wife. I said, really, find the name Christ for me in there. Find the name Jesus for me. Find the name God. Christian magazine. Line by line, we went to it. There was not one. There was not one. You can make it. You can do it. It is in you. A fuller. Even all these things I'm saying, the disappointments of everything was inside. Trust me, I was looking for where is Christ. Where is Jesus? I was looking. I looked through. I didn't find one. I said, whoever compiled it is not wicked. It was forgotten. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, it's no longer in the face of the church. That's the problem we often get into. So that's why it's been on my mind for some time. I want to just bring it again. I want us to put it together again. All right? So we'll get there. So after that, I'll now go into this leading of the Spirit thing. Okay? But listen, why I want to do that is that you will identify what is yours. But because you know that you are not average, I didn't come to Enugu to look for money or for fame. I wasn't born here. My wife wasn't born here. But I knew by different ways that God wanted me to go there. And people will say that money is in Lagos. I said, you don't understand. I have the word of Christ, the word of God. He says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So I can go anywhere. If it's money I want, I will ask God for it. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, why are you fighting? Why are you looking for where it's happening so you can go and locate your ministry or your business there? He said, don't you realize that if we wanted that, we would have asked God for 12 legions of money. I don't know whether you get what I said there. Yes, that was what Jesus said to Peter. I do that thing once in a while, just for the fun of it. I said, Lord, let's just release some words into the air. Let's just attract money. Just not for any other thing, just to have no exercise. Let's carry some weight spiritually. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow to like a river. Well, means like a river. I command money, come. Just for the fun of it. I do it once in a while. So anything I want in life, what do? I pray about it. I pray about it. I pray about it. And it will come to wherever I go. I understood that. So go to Enugu for ministry. Go to Enugu to work. No problem. Anybody come to Enugu now, wonder, what are you talking about? If you came to Enugu 14 years ago, it wasn't like this. You know now, this road was not even dual. It was a single lane. The banks in Enugu now are more than 3 times what they used to be then. You are a witness. The first time I realized that God really can broadcast anybody from here was when one woman met me in church one day. She said, Pastor Banky, we're starting a TV station. I wanted to take common, what they call it, common what? Is it common air? Or with us or whatever. Huh? I said, that was when by force. That's an open studio. Yeah, come and record. I went, recorded a few times. But to my surprise, I said, look, this is happening. I didn't plan for it. I just went to church normally on a Sunday. Just say, please, this I was looking for you. Look at this. Next thing I knew was that I was being watched from all over South Saharan Africa. I said, wow, we haven't left Enugu. Before that time, we had been doing radio. And the message was being carried here and there. So people said that, come, money is on this side. I said, no. I have realized something about money. If we want it, we ask for it. For that reason, we just do that which is our assignment. I'm saying to you again, it's your season of harvest. Amen?
Amen.
You will take hold of your assignment and you will pour energy and faithfulness into it. That is the body through which God will bring forth that blessing. Don't forget this. Let me add this one also. We start it as a habit. We're not saying, now I am made. You know, any man who says, now I'm made, is unmade already. And let me explain what I'm saying. You feel like, now we have done it, nothing more to do. There was a man whose land brought forth much. And he said to himself, "Say, so rest." And God said, this guy is a fool. God doesn't use such words often. It was a personal, most of the time God says fool. It's a general thing. You get what I'm saying? That this is generic. A fool says in his heart, he doesn't know who is saying it. If you say it, you're a fool. But when he's saying it, he's not mentioning your name. But that was one in which God pointed at somebody and said, that fellow, he's a fool. Why? Because he said, now, so, rest. Now, the reason why I say that is this. Because life, there's a season, all right, of fruitfulness. And that season merges, you know, flawlessly into the season of multiplication. There's a difference. There's a difference between fruitfulness and multiplication. But you see, what makes your fruitfulness become multiplication is that you did not stop the work that brought you into fruitfulness. Once you don't stop the work, automatically you will step into multiplication. I'm not going to discuss in details. I want to add these things. All right? And then, so that I can close. This is how it is. A time will come, you will become fruitful. In fact, this is your season of fruitfulness. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
Now, the things that you did, because that's why we said, he said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. We said, we brought out from there, that what he was saying is that there is work to do during sowing, and when it's harvest season, there's still work to do. Now, one of the things that characterize harvest, I'm trying to say everything so I can close. One of the things that characterize harvest is ease. You hear what I said? Yeah, ease. The labor you put in maybe 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years ago that brought you, as an illustration, 10,000 naira. You put it in now, and the same labor, it gives you 1 million. That's how you know it's harvest. It is not because you don't labor at all. It is the ease. He said, when the crop permits, he sits at home because the harvest has come. Is that what he said? What did he say? I didn't hear you. He puts in the sickle. That is, there's work to do. But this time around, that effort yields much because the harvest has come. It's a spiritual principle. So what characterizes harvest time, fruitfulness time, is that things happen with ease. But this is a principle of multiplication. Now, those who will not step into multiplication, they think because it's now easier, we put in less effort. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. No. Did you hear it? Yeah, because it's easier now. So we put in what? Less effort. But let me drop down with you as I close. Don't do that. As a believer, don't labor excessively for anything at any time. I've heard it said before, don't believe it. Okay, it's not good. It was a mistake. We don't say such things anymore. I've heard it before that, what are you doing sleeping? If you have things to do, you shouldn't sleep. And you wake up at any time during the night, time to study, time to walk, time to plot. That gospel is not gospel. What did I say? That gospel is not gospel. Okay, that saying is not gospel. That statement is not true. If you wake up during the night, except for the few times that are special that you should pray, which waking up should be early in the morning. Do you understand? Wake up during the night, go and ease yourself, go back, close your eyes, and sleep. I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. The night comment when no man will walk. Don't walk at night. Sleep. You should sleep. You know, there's a plague these days. I'm just gisting now. My message is almost over. But people don't sleep again. How do you know? Send a message at 1 a.m. to somebody. 9 times out of 10, they will reply you. One day I said, one bro, you know they sleep. Say, you too. Why are you sending me a message at 1 a.m.? I said, you're supposed to read it when you wake up in the morning. People know they sleep again. In fact, one brother will send me a message. Okay, are you awake? I look like, if I'm awake, I'm not telling you. I said, so, if I'm awake, hey, you're talking 12 midnight. 1 a.m. He said, okay, are you awake? So these days, I know the answer. I'm not awake. Leave me alone. I'm not awake. What I'm going to say is that sleep. Are you getting my point? Yeah, sleep. You know, why I went into that is this. A lot of times, believers, this mistake we make, we put in so much effort because the thing is not yielding yet. Then when it starts yielding, we relax. Now, you should relax. But the sin, the mistake there is in putting excessive effort at the beginning. Let me drop this one for you. Put the effort you can sustain. So my business is just starting. Doesn't mean you shouldn't sleep. I'm just trying to build a business, so that's why I don't have time for Bible study. That is one of the most stupid statements I hear this generation. Your business is not big enough to stop you from going to hear the word of God. It's not allowed. So once we settle, I will not have time. Foundation for high blood pressure. When we settle, I will not have time. Listen, my brethren, what I'm going to emphasize is this. If you settle the balance, if you strike the balance between the necessary and effective work and the rest that God said you should have, when you step into harvest, into fruitfulness, do you understand? You won't have to cut back. You will continue that same pace, and without doing anything extra, you will enter into multiplication. Do you understand the logic? So you put in the effort today, it's bringing you, let's say, 1,000. After some years, you are putting the same effort, but it's now a season of what? Harvest. So it's bringing in 1,000,000. A lot of people will have been happy with the 100,000, so they cut back. But because you struck the balance, there's no need to cut back. Are you getting my point? You continue with the same effort, then this time around, because everything that God brings into your hand, there is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. You don't eat everything. So you take the seed for the sower, all right? There's a physical side of that seed, which means, let's use simple cash as an example. You make 1,000,000. God says, don't eat everything. You have to invest maybe half of it back into the business. Or sometimes the proportion increases, depending on whatever it is. You come to your own you know, proportion by yourself, with prayer, with understanding, all right, with, you know, understanding what is going on around in your business, in your personal life, and all of that, and then you reinvest inside that business. A time comes, the same effort, the same amount of sleep, no headache, no special stress, nothing. The season of multiplication. Where it used to be a million, it's a billion. Where the business was in two cities, it's in 20. A time comes, your men will have carried it to another 20 before they inform you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are just putting in the same effort. Let me use ministry as an example. I teach the word of God. All I do is I consistently what? Teach. That is, every week we must pack in a few new messages, archive it digitally, upload it to the internet, you know, get it ready on CDs. I will continue to do that unless God by himself changes the pattern of the anointing, because anointings can, you know, God can say, okay, now you've done this enough, let me add this one to it or remove this one from you. You know, he can do that, okay? But if he doesn't do that, I may change the way by which I teach. Maybe instead of teaching every Saturday, I teach, like my wife and I have said this long ago, say, okay, do seminars all over the place, you know, but I must continue to teach, even if a million people are helping me carry the work, you understand, walking. Even if they say, okay, pastor, you are not teaching today, that is here, I will not teach. I will teach somewhere. Do you understand my point? I will teach somewhere else. As of today, I don't teach end of the year, one whole month. I will still maintain that. I will maintain that so that, listen, at the age of 90, hear ye the word of the Lord. This is how I will stand. Nobody's bringing a chair for me to sit down. I wasn't sitting down when I was 30. Are you getting my point? When I was 40, I wasn't sitting down. When I'm 90, I'm not planning to sit down. I will stand from the beginning to the end. I will not get tired. You hear what I said? I will not get tired. And listen to me. That's as a preacher, as a businessman, whatever be your career in life, the same thing applies. You also will not get tired. Amen. You will step from reaping, you know, tenfold into a hundredfold. Amen. And you will not get tired. Amen. From a hundredfold, you will go into a thousandfold. Amen. And you will not get tired. Amen. From there, a time will come, it will be a millionfold. Most importantly, you still will not get tired. Amen. I like to always drop this. The time will come, using today's references of the value of cash, you'll be given, and it's like, okay, Jonathan is wedding today. Ah, I cannot attend. Please give him this 5 million naira for me. Amen. See, let me say this. There are offerings you discuss with your wife. You know, if I give somebody 2,000 naira, I won't get home and say, sweetheart, you know, I saw, you remember this person? Yes, I gave him 2,000. I just want you to know. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. I won't. Even if it's 10, I'm not sure I could remember. But you know, if I want to give somebody 100,000, okay. I can give you ahead though, but I'll not tell my wife, sweetheart, I have to make expenditure. Because my wife and I will discuss all these things. I said, I have to make expenditure. How much was it? 100K. Uh-huh. What happened? You know that kind of thing. Yeah, that's where I'm going. You will give 2 million naira, you will not remember to tell anybody. Yeah. That's what it is about. That is, your discussion with your wife or whoever is your, you know, people you discuss all things with, will be when it's like 50M, you know, like 50M. Oh, sweetheart, yeah. You know that work they said they were doing? Yes, I gave them a check yesterday for 50M. Okay. That's so nice of you. Why didn't you make it 100? You think so? 100? All right, it's okay. John Boo, call them, add 50 to it. Oh, you know what I like about you here? End of my say these things, you laugh. Yes. No, laughter in Christianity is not just that something is funny. You know that? Yes. Laughter is a sign of impending fulfillment. Yes. The name of Isaac was what? Laughter. The Bible said, and Abraham laughed. People think that he said that, no, you can't do it, let Ishmael live. He said, no. So this thing is going to happen. Now Ishmael will die. He said, Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Ishmael will indeed become a great nation. That is, Abraham thought that his wife was going to deliver meant Ishmael would have to die. So he interceded for the life of Ishmael. He wasn't doubting God. If he was doubting God, he would not have called the name of Isaac laughter. Isaac means God has caused me to laugh. You laughed just now. It is not because it's funny. It is because it will be fulfilled in your life. Yeah. Let me say this one. This one will make you laugh too. One day you'll give me, not another preacher, me. You can give many. I'm not saying I'm the only person. Yeah, but I'm just trying to say what I will do. One day you give me, you come to my house, I'm not around, you drop a $5 million check, I will not remember to say thank you. Amen. That's where I'm going to. It's not the $5 million. It's the fact that I won't even remember. Later on, they just say, Chooks, were you in my house 6 weeks ago? Why do you want to drop the 5M? Okay, that's good. We'll be dancing because of $5 million or what? The only time I'll call you is I say, oh boy, I say 12 and I don't buy the jet. That's good. Guys, come, kneel down. In the name of Jesus. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Listen, none of these things we have said, we fail.
Yes.
God, listen to this. Not one we fail.
Yes.
Listen, in your life, not one we fail. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Hear this, you won't die.
Amen.
You won't marry a wrong husband.
Amen.
I think the woman wanted to preach that, say that one too. So let me know, I'm not trying to balance the praying. It's one person. You will not marry a wrong husband.
Amen.
All of you listen to me, you will have good children.
Amen.
You will have to explain what poverty is to your children.
Amen.
That is an explanation. Say, sit down. Poverty is when you want to eat and there's no food. So your child will say, you mean it can happen? Why, daddy? You will have to take them somewhere. In fact, you won't even know where to take them. Everywhere you go, you will stop poverty.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thou shalt remember, he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. The last prayer I want to pray for you is that you will never forget God.
Amen.
Very important, you will never forget him.
Amen.
He will not let you forget him.
Amen.
He will not leave you alone so that you will forget him.
Amen.
Whatever he has to do, we draw you back to him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you because your word is good. Just thank him.